Well, if you would turn back to John chapter 6, which I read to you earlier, we will look mainly at verses 60 to 71. And in verse 67, Jesus asks a question. Will you also go away? Will you also go away? And he's talking to some of his disciples who believed in him. And that's the question that we want to look at. And I think, if I remember correctly, what prompted me to think about that question was talking to a man at the end of a service at Cargurla. And he was telling me about the young people that they had and that they were either going away from the faith or had never actually really embraced the faith. Will you also go away? Verse 66 tells us, after this is before, just before Jesus asked the question, and after what had happened and what he had said before, after this, many of his disciples drew back and no longer went about with him. And I think you and I know that many people are leaving the chapels and leaving the faith and leaving the context of Christian community. I was preaching at Brown Knoll some time ago, and in the vestry before, I saw this picture on the wall. Underneath was the title of what the picture was of, Group of Men, Our Men's Mission Group. And that was just the men from the congregation who went out, presumably missioning the village and villages around. I don't know if there were even that many people in the congregation, let alone this small group which had been photographed some years before, some decades before. You go to chapels and you see photographs of their Sunday school, perhaps in the 1950s. And where have they all gone? I was interested in the chapel at Cloy. And it was the first Primitive Methodist chapel built in North Wales, and that's why I was interested. But it's closed now and it's a house. But I tracked down about three children, they had been children, who had gone there. And one of them was telling me about remembering the German bombers coming over whilst they were going to Sunday school. So you can tell how long ago they were at Sunday school. Not one of those people that I spoke to who were kind enough to describe life in the chapel back in the 40s and 50s, not one of them goes anywhere to worship. Will you also go away? If you read the Primitive Methodist magazine for 1856, you will find these words describing their chapel anniversary at Froude. The congregation was overflowing and many were unable to find admission. The presence of Jehovah was felt, and we hope for still better days. Chapel anniversary 1856. In 2018, I preached to six people remaining in that congregation. And if you go to Froude today, the chapel's closed all together. Will you also go away is a question which I think you and I need to answer, especially if something difficult comes into our lives. It's a decisive factor and a decisive question for us to decide. Now, if you look in verse 68, Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And if eternal life is something that you want, it is certainly something I want, then there is only one source of eternal life, and that is Jesus Christ. And Peter put the his finger on it, as they say. He put it, he hit the nail on the head, as they say. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And he knew that. And many others knew it. And many others have come to know it over the years. Verse 69 continues what Peter said. And he says, we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. We have believed and have come to know. Oh, I hope that's true of everyone here. That in your heart you've believed and you've come to know that Jesus is the Holy One of God, as Peter put it. But what did they believe? Well, we've been looking at chapter 6. If we look at chapters 1, 2, 3, 4 and 5, we can find some of the things which they had come to believe. Look at chapter 1. Jesus is called the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now, one reason why I loved singing that first hymn that we sang is it talks about him taking away so many sins. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. You know, of course, that in the Old Testament, the lamb that was sacrificed was, if you like, a picture in advance of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, when he died for us upon the cross. And did we not just sing line repeated, pen calvaria, I'll never forget this, says the hymn. And we just sang it. Well, may that be true of us, that we will never forget. We have come to know and we believe that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and therefore my sin and yours. And then in chapter 1, again, verses 42, 45, he is called the Messiah, him of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. And so his coming, his being born, his life, his death, his resurrection, his second coming, his session in glory, sitting at the right hand of God, those are all written about and predicted in the Psalms, the prophets, the writings of the Old Testament. And Jesus himself, if you remember, after his resurrection, spoke to them about how the Old Testament spoke of him. And so the plan was there so long before, in fact, before the foundation of the world. Chapter 1 and verse 49 calls him the Son of God. So do many other verses, of course. The Son of God. We believe in the deity of Christ. All of these things, Simon Peter, I was sure, referred to. Not necessarily those events, because he may not have been present when they all happened, but they would have been known and talked about among the disciples. We have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So the words that were spoken, and then the signs that Jesus did. And again, Peter or others would have been present, would have seen these things, or would have talked about them afterwards. Think of the wedding at Cana in Galilee. You know what he did? They ran out of wine. Terrible embarrassment for the person organising the wedding. He hadn't provided enough. How would the bride and the bridegroom think about a person like that who organised their wedding? Awful. And Jesus solved the problem. He turned water into the best wine that they had. And it says of that, Jesus manifested his glory and his disciples believed in him. I think you know that supermarkets have the habit of moving things around. They don't do it to annoy us, apparently. They do it so that we'll have to look for things and they hope we'll notice something that we wouldn't otherwise have looked at on our shopping list. And so we think, oh, I'll have that as well. And I saw a photograph of a supermarket, and over the top, it said, water. Well, they'd moved the water away, and they'd put all the wine there. And all these bottles of wine are labelled water. And some wit had put under the photograph he took of that, Jesus has been here. You get the point. He obviously knew the Bible story. He manifested his glory, and it says his disciples believed in him. Chapter 2 says many believed when they saw the signs which he did. Chapter 4, there was that official at Capernaum who wanted Jesus to heal his son. And Jesus spoke the word at a distance. He didn't even go and lay hands on him. He just spoke the word of authority, and the son was healed. Chapter 5, there was a man who had lain at the pool of Bethesda for 38 years, unable to get into that healing water. And Jesus came and healed him in an instant. And earlier on in chapter 6, you get the feeding of the 5,000, that creative miracle. Remember the loaves and the fishes? And he said to the disciples, you feed them. And they took that, and it didn't run out. He fed the 5,000 with such a small amount. And a few verses later, when the disciples had crossed over in a boat to the other side of the lake, he stayed for a while to pray, and he came to them walking on the water. All of that before we get to this bit where Jesus says, will you also go away? And Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed, and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And there are, of course, not only the signs, not only what other people said about him, but his own teaching in those first chapters. He talked about being born again, and he said those famous words, you must be born again. He talked about eternal life. He talked about those who perish and those who do not perish because of their faith. He talked about an Old Testament event when the people in the desert had been bitten by snakes. And I can never remember if you're supposed to say they're poisonous or venomous. Apparently there's a difference. But anyway, they've been bitten by snakes, serpents, and they were dying. And they came to Moses and they said, what should we do? And Moses put a bronze serpent on a pole, and Moses said, look at the serpent and you'll live. And those who looked were healed of the snake bite. And Jesus said that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so he had to be lifted up, referring, of course, to the cross, that those who believe in him would not perish. And so we say, Peter said, and I hope we can say it as well, we have come to know that you are the Son of God, or rather the Holy One of God, it says here. How have you come to know that? I often feel that the evidence of the Christian life that helps us to believe comes afterwards. It comes later. A little illustration comes to my mind that there are occasions when I wanted to go to a little village called Pendreff, spelled D-R-E-F-F, believe it or not. Okay, Pendreff. I'm driving along, and I said to my wife, I think it's down that road. We'll turn off here, and I think it's down there. And when you turn off, there you see a sign, Pendreff. But you don't see the sign until after you've made the turning. And then you know you're on the right way. And that sort of thing has happened to me more than once. And I think we experience God's hand upon our lives. As the days and the years and the decades build up, you start to get to a point where you could sing that hymn, Jesus led me all the way. You can look back and you say, God has looked after me. God has guided me. God has put me right when I went wrong, or kept me right, and he's cared for me. He supplied my needs. I've come to know him, and we call that providence, God's involvement. We thanked God for his providence, didn't we, in our prayer. And creation, the more you look at what God has made and think about it, whether it's tiny little flowers or trees, or whether it's the stars at night, whether it's big things or small things, the way he's planned it, the regularity of it, the more you become convinced, yeah, my God made that. And forgiveness, that sense when you've got a guilty conscience because you know you've done wrong, and you come to God and you say, Lord, I've done this. Or you might need to say, Lord, I've done it again. And you get that sweet sense of forgiveness and God's favour and God's cleansing of you. Progress in the spiritual life. Prayer, praise, and that inner witness. Romans 8 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And John Wesley said this is one of the privileges of the children of God, to feel in your heart that you're a child of God, that God has given you new life, planted eternal life in you. Because eternal life's not something you get after you die. It's something you get when you believe, and it continues after you die. And so as you go on, these evidences build up, and you can say with the words that Simon Peter said, we have believed and come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So why were people leaving? Why were they leaving? Well, it tells us why. Verse 60. Many of his disciples, when they heard it, said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? So are there any hard sayings that so confuse you that you think, I don't know if I can believe this gospel anymore. I don't know if I can believe in Jesus and in God and in forgiveness and in the cross. It's hard. And you think about it. And it's possible to become so confused as you think about unanswerable questions that you end up giving up. That's one reason, I think, why people would give up. Can't understand it. And people can even fall away simply because they can't get the answers to their questions. But what I would say to you, even if there are things you don't understand, can't find the answers to, don't give up on your faith in Jesus Christ. What you have come to feel and to know, what we do know clearly and is understandable about Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world, who the Old Testament talks about in prophecy, who was the Son of God, who performed all those signs, and who gave that teaching which you can understand, like being born again, like not perishing, like looking at the cross like Moses 7. Hold on to the faith you have. And if you can't find the answers, you're probably not the first. In fact, I guarantee you're not the first. And you won't be the last. So of those disciples that believed, what happened? One of them left. Verse 70. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was to betray him. And even in this chapter, and even amongst just those 12, there was one that left. And I hope that here this morning, there is not one who will leave but that all of us, me and you, when we die, will still be holding on in faith to Jesus Christ, despite any temptation, despite any unanswered questions, because he is the one and he alone who has the words of eternal life. Amen. Now, if you'd like to turn in your hymn books to 747. Seithcant, Hedward Eich Saith. Mae phrydiau'n orfoledd yn taraddi, o ddisglair o'r seddfanc y nef. And then look at the last verse. O fryniau car salem cer gweled, holl daeth ar anialwch i gyd. Pryd hyn, y daw troion yn yrfa, yn feles i lanw yn fryd. Cawn edrych ar stormydd ac ofnau ac angau dychrynllyd ar beidd. A ninnau'n ddihangol o'i cyrraedd a nofio mewn cariad a heidd. You'll get there if you hang on to Jesus Christ all the way. 747. Byddedi'r arglwydd ein bendithio a'n cadw. Byddedi'r arglwydd llywyrchu ei wyneb arnom a bod yn drigarog wrthym. A byddedi'r arglwydd edrych arnom a rhoi heddwch i ni. Amen.